until she goes on trial on charges of plotting the murder of her adoptive mother. Meshbesher says he'll ask that her trial be moved out of the state. Quoting him, "I'll make an unusual request to have this case transferred outside the state of Minnesota." Attorneys for the news media argued for the public's right to know in order to lift the sealing of documents in the case. The attorney says such a gag order is in conflict with the Supreme Court's directives. The five top officers of the Metropolitan Waste Control Commission were improperly paid more than $37,000 for accrued vacation and sick leave. That's what State Auditor Robert Mattson says in a report on a recent audit. He says Richard Dougherty, chief administrator, approved the payments, including more than $10,000 for himself. The head of the Federal Disaster Assistance Administration admits there's too much red tape in getting funds to Minnesota storm victims, but says officials are trying. Administrator William Wilcox and U.S. Senator Muriel Humphrey toured Gary and Rochester today, both of which have been declared disaster areas because of recent tornadoes and floods. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and the Metropolitan Council have reached agreement on a situation which has been brewing for several months. That disagreement concerned air quality emissions at the main sewage treatment plant in St. Paul. It appears to be the first time in state history that one government agency has fined another. That equipment will be operational by the middle of 1979 at a price of $1 million. Dave Hellerman, WWTC News Radio.
Welcome back, Twin City. Second half coming up of TC Talk Line, Friday Night Style from WWTC, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Line's totally packed. Stephen Martinson is here representing the views of the American Nazi Party, National Socialist White People's Party. That's the correct.
I finally get it.
All right. Okay, we're going to be taking more calls and getting into a few other interesting things from here on in. Be with you until 1 o'clock this coming morning on TC's Talk Line. Hey, what are you going to do tomorrow night? Somebody coming in from out of town, you want to take the family someplace, sort of a fun place, not too expensive, I'll tell you what I suggest. I suggest that you take them to Cicero's. Cicero's, a musical eatery, absolutely superb, where you get delicious pizza and loud entertainment. Seven nights a week, there's always a happy crowd at all three Cicero's in the Twin Cities, and they are sitting there stuffing themselves with delicious pizza, or cheeseburgers, or what have you, or drinking lighter dark beer, and pounding the table in time to the music. It all sounds almost familiar, I don't know. Anyway, the music comes from a gigantic silent movie theater pipe organ, and you'll see and you will hear how everything works. You'll see the trap drums and the bells and the whistles and the huge pipes and the player pianos. Cicero's, really, when it comes right down to it, is an ideal place, a wonderful place for kids of all ages. Oh, it's noisy, but it's fun, and at Cicero's, they keep them happy and well-filled with a great menu selection. Now, is there a Cicero's near you? Indeed, there happens to be three locations: Westbrook Mall across from Brookdale, Leisure Lane on France Avenue across from Byerly's, and in Roseville at Harmar Mall around in back. And on Friday and Saturday nights, the music goes on until 12:30 thereabouts at Cicero's. Now, let's move ahead and start taking some of those calls. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Am I on?
You're on the air.
Oh, I'd like to... Is his name Stephen?
That's correct, ma'am.
Oh, Stephen?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Yes, that's my name.
I want to ask you a question, but just before I do, I'd like to go back just to Germany for just 1 minute. At the time, there was inflation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people were rioting, and the unions were angry, and business people didn't know which way to turn, and mm-hmm. the government kept getting weaker and weaker.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the left and the right and the middle class caught in the crossfire. Now, in 1928, there was a conference with Hitler, and the bulk of the manufacturers and shipping interests of the country supported him. They decided to support him along with the junkers. And that group was the National Federation of German Industry, the Chamber of Commerce, the Central Clearinghouse for all chambers of commerce, and the Herren Club, which was the junker military interest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you believe... Now, Hitler couldn't have gotten anywhere if it hadn't been for that backing.
Well, I don't know about that, ma'am.
Well, that's what all the historians say. That's a pretty good
fact. Which historians?
Well, did you read the John Tolan book? Did you really read the John Tolan book, Adolf Hitler?
No.
You forget that part?
I read the, I'm reading Brady, who was a professor of economics. But then there's a lot of people say this. I want to ask him a question, okay?
Okay, here's the point.
Now, the point is that, do you believe that if anything happened like that here, that you could get the American big business and the military hierarchy to go with you?
I'm not quite sure we get all the what you refer to as big business. I assume you mean the big capitalists, the multinationals and things like this, right?
Well,
what you're referring to?
Do you agree that it wasn't the Jews and it wasn't the trade labor unions? It was merely that the German government was crumbling and they had to do something. And that you couldn't get anywhere here.
You're asking the question whether maybe the American Nazi Party could conceivably get support, say, from the Rockefellers, from the Mellons, from the DuPonts, from the Henry Fords, and so forth, or what?
No, the conglomerates and big business.
The conglomerates and big business.
And the Chamber of Commerce. I don't think they could get it.
I don't think so either. It wouldn't strike me as being rational. Would it strike you as being plausible, Steve Martinson?
Well,
and again, do you want to work into that microphone directly?
If you're talking about the big capitalist corporations, you know, people that are involved with the international finance, like the Lehmans and the Schiffs and the Rothschilds, they won't support us. I'll tell you that right now. I know they won't support us.
I didn't necessarily mean Rockefellers.
Well, I said Rothschilds and Lehmans and Schiffs.
Well, I'm not Rothschilds either. I'm talking about the conglomerates. There's lots of people that have the big business interests. I don't think that the Chamber of Commerce or the Army would support you like they did in
Well,
Germany.
The Army, for one thing, is 30% of the Army is black, about 20% of the Marine Corps is black, about 15% of the Air Force is black, and about 10% of the Navy
is
black. I don't think they'd support us.
Stephen, they don't run the Army, you know. The military generals run the Army, and I don't...
No, they don't. We have a Jewish Secretary of Defense named Harold Brown who runs the Army.
Well, he's just a figurehead.
Oh, he is. The Secretary of Defense is a figurehead.
Well, I can't help that. The generals run the Army. They always have.
Well, I don't know. They just sacked General Singlob for saying that we shouldn't pull troops out of Korea.
Well, I think you're barking up the wrong tree. I don't think those same interests that backed Hitler and made him head of that country would ever do it here.
Nobody made Hitler the head of the country. He did it himself.
Of course they did. He was just a paper hanger.
A paper hanger. He never hung any paper. He was an artist.
Well, all right. He was an artist.
You said he was a paper hanger.
All right.
Can you prove that?
Forget the paper hanger.
Okay, well, he was an artist, and you feel that they would have no chance of gaining a foothold over here. I tend to agree. Be right back.
You can save a lot of money right now by getting in on Park Furniture's annual clearance sale. This week, Park will remanufacture and reupholster your sofa and chairs at 20% off Park's regular low prices. That's 20% off both fabric and labor. That means Park will remanufacture your sofa or two chairs in budget-saver fabrics, for example, for only $127. Get your share of the savings by calling Park now for a free home appointment. Call Park at 822-3157. But hurry, this will end soon.
All right, we're back. Our lines stay loaded with Stephen Martinson tonight, a member of the American Nazi Party. Can I get into a few things here in the paper? This White Power newspaper to me is sort of fascinating, sort of weird. I'm not going to try to explain everything, but there are a few things here. Well, let's start with something light. There was a cartoon that I was looking for. Here it is, page 3. And the cartoon has no caption. It simply shows four books on a library shelf, reading from left to right thereabouts, Alice in Wonderland, Grimm's Fairy Tales, on the other side, Aesop's Fables, and in between those books, apparently Fairy Tale, is the Diary of Anne Frank, and so forth and so on. How do you feel about Anne Frank?
Well, the book is a hoax. It's a forgery.
The book
is
a hoax.
There was never any girl named Anne Frank that wrote a book.
There was simply never any Anne Frank?
It was written by a Jew. There may have been a girl named Anne Frank, but if there was, she certainly didn't write the book. It was written by Jew who later on sued another Jew for making a movie out of it.
I see. Well, were there ever any Anne Franks and their counterparts in Germany or in Holland or in Belgium or in France or Czechoslovakia or Poland? Were there any of these people, little girls, were maybe taken off to Auschwitz and ultimately done away with simply because they were Jewish? Or are you saying this is all part of a hoax?
Here we are. We're back to the same old question.
Yeah, right
Mr.
back to the same old question.
You're saying that little Jewish girls were taken off to camps and deliberately killed. Well, that's not true.
Just didn't happen. All those bodies
were
simply...
There's a very interesting book called The Hoax of the 20th Century, written by a man named Arthur Butz. He's
Arthur
not a
Butz.
Nazi, by the way. He's not in our party. He got a degree in electrical engineering at the University of Minnesota here, and he's a professor at Northwestern University at Evanston, Illinois.
The Hoax of the 20th Century. I see that you have it listed here in the back of the publication. You've got column after column after column of various books that are available from the National Socialist White People's Party. Aryan culture, Aryan history, race, National Socialism, about a dozen books on Adolf Hitler, maybe an equal number on World War II, a bunch of books on the Jews, including The Hoax of the 20th Century, the one that you just mentioned. Also, Did 6 Million Really Die? Other titles, The International Jew by Henry Ford. Another, the Myth of the 6 Million. The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Could you tell us something about the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which is incidentally one of the world's better-known forgeries? Go ahead.
Well, that's the Jews say it's a forgery. Whether or not it is, well, I don't know. But
you don't
however,
know. Wait a
however,
well, you don't know.
However, let me finish, Mr. Allard. The things written in there are taking place right now, and it was written back around the turn of the century.
Yeah, by a Russian count who needed some money, apparently, rather swiftly. But what's contained in the Learned Elders of Zion, in the Protocols?
Well, it explains how the Jews will gain control of the banks and so forth, how they'll gain control of the news media. It explains how they will stir up the masses to rebel against different governments and so forth. And all these things are taking place right
now. As I understand, from pretty good authoritative sources, the Jews then have failed rather miserably in, say, getting in control of banks. Jews are not in control of the American banking system.
Oh, they aren't?
No, they're not. Can you give me some other figures
that would... Well, I suggest you pick up a copy of the American Jewish World published here in Minneapolis and look at all the names there and the people who...
Who work at the banks. But, I mean, the people who control our American banking system, and I'm going by figures from Harvard and
so
forth.
Well, let's see. Let's talk about the
maybe less than 2%.
Federal Reserve System, for one thing, which, as we know, is not a government agency. It's a
I mean, somebody
private
owns,
corp.
Somebody
private,
owns the Federal Reserve, and you say the Jews own?
Private banks.
Sure.
And the governors are Jews. I don't have their exact names right here.
Name one. Could you name one?
Not offhand. I had a list I was going to bring with me, but unfortunately I had it all
People just don't seem to do much of your basic homework somehow.
Well,
that's maybe why you simply, personally, Steve,
well you see,
you
Mr.
just don't
Allard,
impress
I,
me.
Well, I had all this literature and thing I was going to bring with me. Then I heard you had some people out here in front that didn't want us to be here, and I thought, well, I probably wouldn't make it in with all these books and documents and things.
I see.
But if you want, I'll get it to you. I can mail it to you, Mr. Allard, if you want.
I don't know what sort of response that you have to people who really send in money for this junk, but other areas, communism, money, the Gentile folly, the Wall Street jungle, the Negro problem, miscellaneous, recordings, leaflets, posters, heroic wall poster of Adolf Hitler, $5. Do you have one of those, by the way?
I don't have that particular poster, no.
I see. All right, lines are full. Let's move ahead. He is here. Hello.
Hello, it's Mr. Martinson.
I would
That's
hope
right.
so, yes.
Good, can I talk to him?
Go ahead.
Okay, hello, good evening, Mr. Martinson. I just have a couple questions about, I don't know, your views on racial matters, okay? I want to know why you place so much emphasis on you know, skin pigmentation or genetics. Why that would play such an important role in being human to you?
In what?
In being human, being a person,
being a living, rational being.
I want to get an answer to this, not just because, like you've been given.
Well, as I said before, we are concerned about the survival of the white race, and the survival of the white race isn't going to happen unless the people stay white.
Well, okay, why is race important? Are you going to tell
it's,
me that...
It's, have you ever heard of the survival instinct?
Okay, sure. That's a basic animal instinct. You're saying that that's
and human
that's
beings,
human
beings, excuse me, sir, would you agree human beings are social animals? We're not individuals.
Okay, I would like to think that human beings are a step above that, that they have more, you know, something beyond genetics, something beyond pigmentation. That's within them. I don't think that you can differentiate a person or, you know, from between blacks and whites besides some certain, you know, genetic or pigmentation. I don't think that you can tell emotionally how a person hates or feels or loves. I don't think you can tell any difference.
Well, I can. I can.
You can?
That's right.
Okay, I would very much like to see you look at art done by people. Look at social writings.
Let's look at all the great works of the 16th and 17th century by the Rembrandts and so forth. Hmm. Well, that wasn't done by blacks. That wasn't done by Jews and that.
Okay.
These are done by Aryans.
You're totally discounting all...
Can we go back a little bit more recently in times past? Back
sure.
to, say, around 1936. Jesse Owens, does that ring a bell?
Mm-hmm.
Black American runner.
Right.
Who beat the hell out of a lot of people at the Olympics held that year, 1936, in Berlin. Mm-hmm. Adolf didn't care for it too much, but,
no.
I mean, how do you go about, say, denigrating somebody like Jesse Owen, who undoubtedly, undeniably beat the record, won the race?
The ability of blacks to run very fast, of course, comes from all the years living in the jungle when they had to run from lions and things like this.
You gotta be kidding.
Well, no, I'm not kidding. How do you think they're like that?
Didn't you once live in the jungle? Are you saying that your race came from some, you know...
The white people came from Northern Europe.
Came
from Northern Europe. Their bodies are adapted to do different things. I'll give you an example of the superiority of the white man.
Okay.
Approximately 73, maybe 80% of white people, when their bodies are in the water, are buoyant. They float.
Oh.
But with blacks, 90% of them sink.
That affects the way you think. That affects your emotions.
I'm just giving you an example. I'm giving you an example of the difference of the races. Huh?
You're giving me an animal character? I want to know.
Are you saying we're not animals? Are you saying we're not part of nature?
Okay,
is that what you're saying?
Listen, I will agree that we are, that there are certain, you know, we are certainly an animal, certainly a social animal, though.
That's correct.
Okay, if you're going to compare yourself to the lions, the bears, and the tigers, go ahead. That's fine.
Well, I think you have the attitude that a lot of these Marxists have, this arrogant attitude.
Arrogant Marxist attitude.
That race makes no difference, that you can rise above nature.
I still feel that I have connections with nature. Right. I, however, do not feel...
You don't have any connections with race, obviously. You don't have any racial consciousness.
Okay, I don't. You're right. I don't.
Are you white?
What difference does that make?
Well, I'm asking you, are you white?
I'm asking you, what difference does it make?
I'm asking you, are you white? Yes or no?
I want to know the validity of that question.
I'm asking you if you're white. I just want to know.
What?
I
want
to know who I'm talking to.
That's what I'm getting at. Why do you want to know that? Why is that important?
Why is that important?
Why is that important?
It's important to me because I want to know who I'm talking to.
You're talking to a person who lives, who feels, who loves, who hates?
Oh, that's very fine. That sounds very nice.
Okay, but you're not talking to a white person, okay? You're talking to some innately individual human being. You're not talking to a white person. Okay?
I can tell that.
You can tell what?
That you're not white by the way you're talking.
Well,
you certainly have no white racial consciousness.
That's not of your liking. Is that what you're saying?
Well, apparently, again and again and again, as we get people on the line, we sort of swerve from one point to the other and never quite seem to hit the mark somehow. We always come to a little stumbling block. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, it seems that rationality is being lost.
Rationality is being lost.
We agree with me on that. That you are delving back into some animal question that is I don't see it as being rational. Will you agree with that?
How? That you don't see as being rational.
Well, you just tend to just, you know, want to ask...
What I understand is that everybody, no matter, regardless of race, is basically the same because they all feel pain and they love and they hate and so on and so forth. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the race is not as important of a characteristic of human beings.
Oh, I'm afraid it is, sir.
Well, apparently you're not going to agree. I thank you very, very much for that interesting call. I'm trying to move those calls along. Hoping to get to as many as we can between now and 1 o'clock in the morning with some interesting conversation in between. Stephen Martinson is here, an American Nazi. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to ask your guest a couple questions.
Sure.
First of all, I'm curious to know what your reason is for saying the white race is becoming extinct.
Well, mm-hmm. the white population rate is going down. As I said earlier, for example, there's a lot of countries in Europe that are experiencing a tremendous rise in non-white immigration and non-white birth rate. The same thing's happening in America. We have thousands and thousands of illegal aliens, of Mexicans, coming into this country every day. In Europe, for example, I think there's a prediction that by the year 2025-something, the German people, the native German population, will be extinct.
Well, I have another reason. Would you believe it's becoming extinct because of self-genocide?
Self-genocide? How do you mean?
Well, all races participate in the gay life and abortions, and I see ever so many white people, just thousands of them, being active in this sort of thing. So would you say that it, wouldn't you call it self-genocide when they participate in a gay life of way of life? Or if they
when white people participate in what you're talking about, a gay life or abortion or things like this, it doesn't help the procreation of the white race.
But you would prefer to blame it on the mixing of races and
A lot of it's okay. A lot of these things, such as gay rights and abortion and so forth, are made to look like that they're good, that they're beneficial for everybody. And so white people, being that they're born with a sense of justice and so forth, they automatically seize upon these things and they think they're doing good. They honestly believe that they're doing good by doing these things.
Well, you said that the white race is pure white and superior. Why would they do something stupid like that, thinking they're doing something great when they really
aren't?
Because
they've been brainwashed by years
well,
and years.
Well, now either they are superior and smart and intelligent, or else they're dumb like everybody else in all the other races. You do have dumb ones and you have smart ones, do you not?
That's right. You have exceptions to every rule.
Pardon me?
You have exceptions to every rule.
Well, you're making it sound like everybody that's white is pure white and superior, and now you're saying that there's some dumb ones. Now, what are you going to do? You know, personally, I would like to be Jewish because the Jewish people sure get credits for doing so many great things.
Look who owns the newspapers.
Yeah, but
of course they get credit for doing those things. They give themselves the credit. They're the chosen race. Didn't you know that? Who said they were the chosen race? They did.
The greatest thing is Christ is a Jew.
Well, some people would argue with
you
about that.
No, he is a Jew, and you know it, and you're a follower, and you're too small.
Well, I don't know about that.
You're too small to admit that he is. Sure, he's a Jew.
No, well, that's what you're saying.
He is a Jew. You know, you're just a little demented in the head.
And I'm demented in the head.
Like the one man said, you should go back and come again after you get some intelligence.
Further
your education.
Well, you know, if you want to engage in a name-calling session, I'll be glad to help
you. I'm not calling you names. I'm not calling you anything.
Well, you said I was demented.
Well, you are.
I'm demented.
You are.
Why? According to who?
All right,
according to anyone.
Okay,
according to anyone, according to you.
Can I ask this question, get back in the mainstream here? Steve Martinson, you again will not tell me how many people you've got here in the Minneapolis area.
That's right.
Twin City area.
Good question.
If you had a certain number, say 50, 60, whatever the number might be, would you people maybe consider holding a march some afternoon through, say, St. Louis Park?
No matter how many people we had, we wouldn't go marching through St. Louis Park. Okay, St. Louis Park is a primarily Jewish community.
We are trying to
get white people on our side. Now, something like that would just antagonize Jews. That's all. It would serve no productive purpose. As I said before, we're trying to get white people on our side.
And you don't want to antagonize any Jews.
Well, it's not that we don't want to antagonize Jews, but that's not our sole purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the only purpose that would accomplish, is to antagonize Jews, such as this thing in Skokie.
So how many people are there in your group?
Well, I won't tell you that, ma'am.
Oh, because it's so little, you're embarrassed.
No, I'm not embarrassed. I don't know the exact numbers that we have
across
the country.
You know, if most white people were like you, it'd be a sad world.
It would?
It would be very sad.
I've heard
one person call in want to be a part of your group, and I'm not sure about her.
Okay.
No, you're not. Well, okay.
Okay, stay with us for hour number three. It should be a good one. Let's have a bit of music. Just a dash.
I'm John Euland of Rosedale Leasing. Summer and a new car go together. I have all sorts of new cars, trucks, and recreational vehicles. Whatever you want this summer, I've got at Rosedale Leasing. Leasing means you don't have to come up with that down payment or trade-in. Leasing means you can turn over a new car every 1, 2, or 3 years at a profit. Leasing means you can have a new car this summer and come out ahead. Even your insurance payments can be less. At Rosedale Leasing, I can give you almost any make, any model, including the Japanese economy compacts. I'll show you how you can enjoy top transportation for so much less than the total cost of owning a new car. The answer is Rosedale Leasing. With 25 years of leasing experience, we will not be undersold. Call me tomorrow, John Euland, 636-0349. That number again is 636-0349.
You can save a lot of money right now by getting in on Park Furniture's annual clearance sale.
This week, Park will remanufacture and reupholster your sofa and chairs at 20% off Park's regular low prices. That's 20% off both fabric and labor. That means Park will remanufacture your sofa or two chairs in Budget Saver fabrics, for example, for only $127. Get your share of the savings by calling Park now for a free home appointment. Call Park at 822-3157. But hurry, this will end soon.
It's 11:59 on WWTC Radio, and TC Talk Line continues into hour number three following NBC's Midnight News. My name is Bob Allard. Steve Martinson of the National Socialist White People's Party is here. Our lines are full, matter of fact, to such an extent that apparently we have lost line five, and a lot of people are waiting to get on. We'll take a few more of those calls in hour number three when we return. Stand by. Weather-wise in the Twin Cities, skies mostly clear, and we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies tonight with a chance of an isolated thundershower. Clear to partly cloudy this coming Saturday through Sunday and a chance of a few brief showers or thunderstorms Saturday night into Sunday. Again, 72 degrees, the wind from the north at 5. This is WWTC, Minneapolis and St. Paul. 12 midnight.
NBC Radio News, this is Don Blair. After twice denouncing the Soviet trials and subsequent harsh sentences handed out to two dissidents this week, President Carter today continues an active schedule in West Germany, where the Western Economic Summit begins on Sunday in Bonn. NBC's Bill Lynch reports.
The president sets out from this capital city early in the morning for a day of campaign-like travel. He'll stop first in Frankfurt, one of the largest cities in Germany, to inspect American and German military forces and then make a speech to a big crowd at Frankfurt City Hall. He then heads for West Berlin to inspect the wall which divides east from west, and he'll later answer questions at a large town meeting of West Berliners. Accompanying Mr. Carter to Berlin will be Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, whose visit to that city is taking place under protest by the East Germans. Mr. Carter has already said Schmidt has a perfect legal and moral right to be in West Berlin. Bill Lynch, NBC News, with the president in Bonn.
The West Berlin town meeting was Mr. Carter's idea instead of the traditional speech, and it caught West Berlin officials off guard, but they recovered, and more than 1,000 people have been invited. More news after this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? If so, note this toll-free number, 800-528-6050. You're invited to telephone Vantage Press, a leading New York subsidy publisher, for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. Just call this toll-free number, 800-528-6050. This brochure explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. The number is 800-528-6050. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, dial 800-528-6050. Then 528-6050. The phone call is free. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Just dial 800, then 528-6050.
Southern California coughing through one of its worst smog attacks in years, and state officials are fighting back with some extraordinary measures. James Baracco, spokesman for the Southern California Air Quality Management District.
20% of all hydrocarbon and oxides of nitrogen production from industry is being curtailed. Beyond that, we've gone to the power plants and have requested that they use nothing but natural gas in the area instead of fuel oil. We have imported 30% of the power used in the area from outside of the basin, from Arizona, for example. And we've gone to the larger companies, those that employ more than 100 people, and have said that they've got to put their people in carpools.
Hospitals in Southern California report a sharp increase in the number of patients being treated for respiratory difficulties. A couple of potentially serious labor problems have gone by the boards in the past several hours. Firemen in Louisville, Kentucky have ended a walkout which lasted 13 hours. But National Guard troops are being kept in the city until officials are satisfied things are really back to normal. Contract talks with the city will resume. Police in Cleveland, Ohio have ended their 19-hour strike after a local judge issued a temporary restraining order against the city's firing of 13 policemen who refused to work one-man patrols in high-crime areas. You're listening to NBC News.
Help!
It's hay fever.
Help! And the whole world seems like one big pollen farm. Don't give up. Arm yourself with ARM, allergy relief medicine. ARM gives you full antihistamine relief for dripping and sneezing, plus congestion relief for freer breathing, clearer sinuses. Antihistamine relief plus congestion relief equals ARM.
Don't give up. Arm yourself with ARM.
Take when needed, only as directed.
This is a hit song here in the Middle East. It's one of the chart busters being played over Israel Radio's Arabic language service. Here on the NBC radio network, you may not always get to hear the latest Mideast hit song, but you will be promptly and accurately informed on developments that not only affect this region, but have wider-reaching significance. And maybe occasionally we'll give you a sampling of Middle Eastern hits. Philip Till, NBC News, Israel.
The current edition of the magazine New Times carries a feature story about Vincent Cianci, the mayor of Providence, Rhode Island, and an alleged rape committed by the mayor at gunpoint 12 years ago. The story says Cianci's alleged victim was bought off for $3,000. Now, not many copies of the magazine have shown up in Providence. New Times publisher George Hirsch was asked why.
I can only tell you what I was told myself by the wholesaler. He said he was concerned that there might be some kind of legal action against him, and he added also, let's not forget that he's still the mayor and we have to live with him.
One of Cianci's opponents is reportedly buying up thousands of copies of the magazine. The Hour's lead story, President Carter today speaks to American troops in West Germany and conducts one of his town meeting question and answer sessions with West Berliners. This is Don Blair, NBC News.
With that theme, welcome back, Twin Cities. Lines stay full. Steve Martinson representing the views and opinions of the American Nazi Party, the American People's White National White People's Party, whatever it happens to be, is here and has been for the last couple of hours. If you're with us at the very beginning of the show, apparently there were a group of picketers downstairs in front of the building, in front of WWTC. When I arrived about 9:30 thereabouts at the studio, a little earlier than that, there was a milling mob of about 20, 25 people, and they were carrying yellow banners or yellow flags and big red flags, and there were police patrol cars in the area. And we were waiting, of course, for our guest to arrive, Stephen Martinson, and he didn't show up, and so forth and so on. Exactly now that we've, you know, settled things down a little bit, maybe the effects of the mace have worn off or what have you. When did you arrive in the area of the radio station? When did you become aware of the fact that there were some hostile people down there trying to keep you out?
We first learned that there were some communists in the area about 9 o'clock, or so, about 8:30, 9 o'clock. One of our members had heard on the radio that there were some protesters outside, and he informed the rest of us. I don't know exactly what time we got in the area because, well, none of us had a watch. We had to drive around, find a place to park, and so forth.
Well, you're wearing a flannel shirt, which apparently is torn in a few places, and you've got some bruises on your left arm. The arm seems to be a little bit on the tender side. You seem to be holding it.
Yes, it's a little sore.
Was it how to get damaged?
A policeman hit me with his stick.
A policeman hit you with a stick. You, in turn, and your friends apparently got in the melee with the people who were protesting outside.
That's correct. As we walked up the sidewalk, we were recognized by some of the communists, and they started to gather in front of the door so we couldn't get in. Therefore, we tried to walk in, and they started pushing us, and the fists started to fly. And
I see.
Police came in trying to break it up.
Is this the first time that you've had a little altercation of this type?
Myself, no. We've had several fights with the Red Front.
I see. All right, let's get back to the thesis of what we're talking about. We'll take some more calls here in just a bit. Again and again and again, it's a racial theme as far as your party is concerned.
That's
beyond
correct.
That, no other intellectual weight that I can discern. You don't talk about things heavy in the terms of economics. It's all primarily based on the hatred of one race against another.
No, it's just based on the love of the white race and wanting to see that the white race survives and is bettered.
Beyond that, however, maybe it's a senseless, useless question to ask, but what do you have against the Jews?
What do we have against the Jews? The Jews are bound and determined to destroy the white race. through different means, through abortion, through race mixing, through pitting white people against each other in wars such as World War I, World War II. They've been at it for thousands of years.
You mean that there's some sort of an organized inner circle, secret type conspiracy of influential international Jews who manage these things?
Well, I don't know if it's really secret. All you have to do is look around. You can see the people pulling the strings. As I said before, we have a great many Jews in the government. There's a great many international wealthy Jewish families, such as the Rothschilds and the Schiffs and the Lehman and so forth.
Communism,
for example, was started by Jews. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, how are they pulling the strings?
How are they pulling the strings? Mm-hmm, through their power. They control. They have control of the money.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of influence, a lot of control over the press.
Did they always have this degree of control, going back over the last 100 or 200 years?
Not always, no.
Not always.
Not always, no.
I was going to say,
wormed their way in.
See, if they were that powerful, say, in Germany back in the 1920s and into the 30s and into the 40s, what stopped them from, couldn't they prevent Adolf Hitler from taking power?
Well, they most
if they
certainly
were really
tried.
That strong.
They most certainly tried. But they didn't Adolf Hitler was a genius. He was a great man. He could get the people behind him, and that's what he did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Obviously, it goes without saying, Steve Martinson, that you feel that the wrong side won the war.
That's correct.
And if you were around in the days of the Second World War, about the same age, 23, what would you have done, having the same attitude now? Would you have gone and served?
Well, I don't know. I can't say. There was a lot of people in the German-American Bund,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've heard of that, who, as soon as the war broke out, they sided with America because that was the country of their birth.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unfortunate. If the Germans would have won World War II, if Adolf Hitler would have won, I don't think we would have had any black crime. We wouldn't have any pornography. We wouldn't have any drugs. We wouldn't have things like this. So the after effects of World War II are very obvious.
All right, nothing beyond that point. Let's move ahead and take some of those calls. Those lines stay full. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Certainly has. Fire away.
Yeah, I've got a lot of things that have even come through my mind while I was waiting on the line for so long. But let me ask a question here about, did you make a statement that 90% of the black people sink in the water rather than something about the white people would float?
That's correct, yeah.
Where do you get that idea?
Well, when I was in the Marine Corps, we took water survival training, and that was one of the things that they told us and one of the things that was proven.
Well, how was it proven?
Well, by watching people in the water. The blacks jump in the water, and they sank to the bottom.
Did you actually see it happen?
Yes, of course I saw it happen. I wouldn't be saying if I didn't.
Okay, well, okay, that's one question. I judge you to be somewhere around early 30s, is that correct?
He's 23.
When did you first get these ideas that you've got now? Was it at a quite young age or quite recently?
Well, as I said before, I first became involved with the party when I was in the service. I think I was about 20 or 21 at the time.
Okay, let's say prior to the service. I don't know if I tuned in kind of late or what. You are from the Twin Cities?
That's correct, yeah.
Let's say prior to the service, I don't know if you're from what part of the Twin Cities, but let's say prior to the service, how did you feel towards blacks or Jews before that?
Well, I never really got along with blacks. I grew up with blacks. I had to go to school with them, and my experiences there weren't, are the best. So I'm not speaking of a standpoint of something I just read in a book. You know, I just didn't pick all these things up and read them in the book, and that's what I believe in. A lot of it's personal experience.
Oh, okay, okay. I've got, this would be, I think this covers everything so far. I've got one more for you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the Nazi Party took over this country. What would you do about the Indians?
About the Indians? The Indians would probably go back to the reservations.
Okay, the reservations are in this country, aren't they?
That's right.
Okay, the reservations are owned, like I said, part of this country. You couldn't send them back to another country because they've already been here. Why couldn't you just leave them here running around? Because they're already here, right?
That's correct. That's why they're going back to the reservations. They were here first, so we'll allow them to have some land.
Yeah. Do you consider the Indians to be basically inferior, racially inferior?
They're not white.
They're not white. So that takes care of anything All things right there dealing with race. They're
That's
not
right.
white. They're not right.
That's right.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back to the Jewish thing. Let's go back to the Jewish thing a little bit. Now, isn't it true that as you look at a Jew, there are some Jews that don't look Jewish. They look white. Now, what do you think about that? I mean,
well, that's because they've obviously in their background they've had some intermixture with white people.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? It's bad for the white people. It's not really well.
How do you know that?
What was that?
Well, how do you know that?
How do I know what?
Well, how do you know that?
That it's bad for the white people.
Bad for the white people.
It's bad for any white people when they race mix.
I see. I see. It basically is the same thing. I've always felt that. Now I will tell you. Now I'm white myself, but I've always felt that through the years that the white people have. You go down through the Crusades. You go down through years that you go right around through the area. I felt that white people are imperialists. They. It's what Fidel Castro has said for years. Now I'm not a communist. I have never followed the Communist Party, but I still think that what has been said is el imperialismo Yankee is definitely what's going on. That white people have moved into territories. It goes into for example, let's take Latin America, where the Catholic Church is predominant. You've got a missionary station that is predominantly Baptist in Quito, Ecuador. They're trying to tell the people that Catholicism is not right, and they're moving in. We're getting
the Baptists and the Catholics. I don't care about that.
Well, they're Latin oriented. It's basically the same thing that white people are going into areas where they don't belong, and they're trying to change the people's minds.
I can agree with you on that point. It's too bad that white people have to go over and establish colonies in other countries and things, because use the native non-white population to do their dirty work. This is what's gotten white people into trouble in the past. Is when, as I said before, civilizations like Greece and Rome and just lately Great Britain, they established colonies away from their native land, and they use the native population to do their dirty work. Subsequently, the native population mixed with the people that are over them, which are white. And that's we're not out to conquer the world, sir.
Okay, let's make a quick final point.
Okay, let me get back quickly back to the Indian thing. You said that you would put them back into reservations. Who would run those reservations?
Well, that's where we put them there and made sure they wouldn't leave. They'd run them any way they wanted to.
So that there would be no assistance from the United States government, right?
Well, once they went in, nobody would go in, nobody would come out. And of course, we wouldn't just drop them off there without any food or anything. We'd give them a little bit of assistance so they could, you know, get themselves on the way. And if they want to revert to their old tribal ways, well, fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's mighty white of you. Thank you very much, sir. Nice to hear the voice again. I've got to move along at that point. Right now, let's make way for one of those sensible commercials.
American Rugged.